This is the Podcast Derby, a Blacklist podcast. For this week's episode, Anne. I am Brian, joined by Dave. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Blacklist. We're back after a week off, and we will go ahead and break down this episode and do a little discussion. So, I was hoping a live tweet along with this episode tonight, but Twitter went crazy and stopped working for about 35 minutes, and several of the cast members who like to live stream as well were complaining about it. So it wasn't just me. So I thought,
I think it was just you. I think your age teleported about 30 years and you lost the ability to understand how to properly use technology.
It could be that. It could be that. But but Amir Arison was complaining about the same thing. So.
Okay. I think he knows his tech.
Assuming I'm pronouncing his name correctly, because according to some, I don't know how to pronounce Aram. So, anyway.
Was it Aram? It's Aram.
Aram. Is that what I'm doing?
It's either Aram or Aram, or I've actually worked with someone with that name, and he was fine with Aram.
That's true. I don't know if I've known anybody by that name, but I'm probably just using some phonetic thing. Anyway, this episode, was pretty exciting. It's Assault on Precinct 13, and in a nice little package.
I'm going to come out and say it. I love this episode.
Oh, I love it, too. I think everybody's this will come out as probably the best episode of the season, and ratings-wise is my not necessarily viewer ratings, but like critical ratings. This will probably get the most stars.
A couple of like really issues, which is fine. We always have those, and if I don't have it, honestly, I'm going to be a little bored because that's why we do this show. But for the most part, wow. And any of the previous shows that have been, I think there's been two. There's Kate May, and there was another one.
The Liz one when she was up in the cabin. We talk about how much we don't like Liz episodes, but that one where she was up in the cabin by herself. And doing John Wick style on those guys was
an the Mr. Kaplan
Requiem
history.
The Mr. Kaplan history backstory. Yeah, that was a good
one. Those have all been
non-numbered episodes.
Non-numbered. The Liz one probably the least favorite, but they've all been very good. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd have to think about the least one, and I would have to go back and re-listen to our own podcast because I don't remember what said about it.
I think we liked them all pretty equally, but yeah, this one was really, really good. It gives you some this stuff we've been talking about with Red and going through their relationship and how we just kind of like it. It's like we like seeing our favorite character happy, and he's just so happy.
We want to see him human,
human.
Yeah, any time we get any of these, you know, larger than life characters, it's the little things that add, you know, depth and color and bring them to life to us. Other than, you know, it's seeing Superman all the time is great, but it's seeing Superman heartbroken. It's seeing Superman in his Fortress of Solitude. Mm-hmm. That's what makes him great. That's what gives him. Other than that, he's actually kind of boring. You know what I mean? It's the heartbreak. It's the pain. It's the, you know, that type of, that does it. And that, you know, we've had a lot of that with Reddington and we want more.
There's been very few people Red will put himself at risk for throughout the series that he will, that he is willing to walk into this police station knowing that he's probably going to, if he gets out of this alive, he'll be able to walk away. He'll talk his way out of it, but walking right in, and he's got that leverage to go in there. And
I was like, ballsy, love it. And he knew exactly what to say. You will need to disarm me.
Yep, I'm in Burlington. I'm up on the wall over there, and you're going to I got two guns.
And I am now the most exciting thing that has ever happened in this town.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could see how, you know, I mean, the local sheriff completely unprepared for how to handle this and is trying to
police.
Like just,
he was not sheriff
or chief. Sorry. The local chief.
He was police.
But he's trying to maintain some control in his station, knowing, but at the same time, this level of person is not going to come in to the point where you would probably have a little bit of trust and not just kind of blow off the warnings of this guy who's willing to walk in, much as like what Red was saying to him. I mean, I wouldn't do this if it wasn't serious. And all you know, him just blowing him off. Then you get the other idiot cop there who just was scared and tried to walk away. But yeah, it's it was intense. But before we even get to all that, I mean, there's just all these little nice moments. You know, Red's going away and he's getting that warning from Dembe. You know, the once or twice is maybe okay, but you get beyond that, it becomes a pattern. And your enemies, you know, you've always been very careful, Red, never to do things in that form of pattern. And now you're kind of putting it at risk. But Red wants this life. He is looking back
desperate
at,
for it.
Yeah, looking back at the 30 years of his career here, trying to set up this enterprise for this, you know, end game that he's got coming. And almost looking back saying, I wish I could make all that go away just so I could live this life. This life is just all I want at this stage. Yep. And there's such a cool couple.
She's awesome.
Yeah, they're such a cool couple. I mean, she gave him a key. They're doing everything's happening as we would hope for our character. Like you said, yes, to see him human, but we also want to see our character happy. And it's he's clearly at peace. He was able to nap on, you know, fall asleep on her lap.
Oh, that was was just a sweet.
It just, like you said, that humanizes him. It shows that he can just chill and relax.
Did you expect a like a moment after the whole, oh no, I've got a key, where Anne's like, I didn't give you a key. I picked the lock. I have a few skills, you know, type, and like those clues that he can go, I told you when we first met, I pick the lock. I've been kind of trying to tell you I have this other life.
You know, I think that all would have been fine if they had put that in. I'm glad they did not. But I certainly think that would have worked and been fine had it been.
A reflection on this thing, and it's like, what is going on right there?
Had it been in the episode, I think it would have been fine, but I'm glad they did not. I'm glad it was just what it was.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was just kind of expecting him to be like clue dropping, you know, a la Gross Point Blank.
Sure.
You know,
but they're just having their nice old couple. We're not really old couple, I'm middle-aged couple, whatever. Bridge night. The guys are talking about their favorite podcasts and Netflix shows.
Yeah.
And
the true crime. And he's like, oh yeah, go try this one. That's what people do, especially when they have, you know, some old friends and a new person comes in. That's mm-hmm. very realistic. And
clearly we drop early on that, you know, Lois is a cop. So we know that's going to come around. You know, Lois is already suspicious, but just not suspicious that he's some sort of criminal, but that he's probably going to hurt her. Does the typical best friend thing you would say to somebody, you know, you hurt her, I'll kill you type thing.
Yeah.
You know, clearly it's tropey, but people do that in those.
People say those types of things to each other.
And she was clearly not going to kill him, but I'll make your life miserable if you break my friend's heart. You know, people say that stuff. But clearly is hesitant about him and even comes back to say that.
Who was that actress?
Her name was... Oh, I looked it up and I don't have it anymore.
I mean, I have seen her in a bajillion things and it just...
She's been like, in stuff all her life, so she used to be, like, you know, younger. You know, she was in a lot of stuff when she was younger, and she's been doing things forever. I could not place anything instantly right off the bat.
I'll look it up and be like, oh, that's where I know her from.
Yeah. I looked up and just kind of looked at the first four thing, you know, the top four credits that she has in her career, and those didn't ring a bell, but I know her from something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, Red's in town, and he's suspiciously seeing... that truck, you know, local utility truck, it's just kind of feeling off to him. And I was starting to wonder early in the episode, again, even though I maybe saw the little teaser for it last week, but I was wondering how much of this episode would be Red's suspicions overtaking him and he would make incorrect assumptions. Like, even to the point where he went to the utility guy, the electrical guy who was checking the box, that maybe he was going to.
That it was just, he was just being paranoid.
Yeah, he was. He was just being paranoid, and I thought we were going to get maybe some play on that for a little bit, and then that would cause like a little strain in the relationship. Did not happen. It was, we weren't wasting any time. It's TV. We're not wasting any time. In a movie, they probably would have dragged that out for an hour, you know, an hour. But went right into it, and clearly the guy's got a gun. Everybody's coming, and then there they are. And then that's what leads us to quick little foot chase, Red killing the woman, and then we get to the police station where things go bad quick.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, everything was scripted exactly like he said it was going to happen. He's like, you've got X amount of time. You need to listen to me. Mm-hmm. You need to listen. This is what's going to happen. And, oh, gee, look, it's happening.
And there was barely even that much time. I mean, he was making it sound like we all have time to get out of here alive, but even then, it really wasn't that much time. And how, you know, it's this middle of nowhere kind of town, so not surprising that, you know, a sheriff, state police, and so forth would take a little time to get there. So knowing time was limited. But at the same time, like you said, the most exciting thing this town has probably ever seen, they couldn't even imagine what was about to happen. So being hesitant to, oh, this guy just came in and he's telling us to, you know, break out the armory. You know, okay, hold on there, Chief. Let's go ahead and take a look at the situation first. So it's not unusual that they would be there. You know, we're all looking at it as viewers saying, how stupid are they? Why don't they listen to him? It's probably what would happen.
There's a lot of shock, like this, is this happening, you know, like celebrity shock type thing. Like, who the hell is this person? I mean, this is one of the test 10 most wanted men in America. Mm-hmm. Walked into a no-name town in, you know, Smallville, Kansas. Well, can't do Smallville, Kansas, because that's where Superman's from.
Kentucky. I think it was one of those, but yeah.
I wrote it down. Cottonwood Falls, Kansas.
It was Kansas. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what state it was. I didn't write it down.
Yeah. It's a K.
No, you're probably right.
So. I don't know. Pretty sure it was. But it was awful non-flat for Kansas, though. Kansas is usually more flat than that.
And looking at the portrayals, I mean, I like how Red handled everything, but Anne was great. Having her go ahead and go through just all the emotions that somebody would go through, one, while just learning about your significant other here and the details about them, and kind of, you know, you could see she's going through her mind. Could she have picked up on this? You know, was she played for a fool? And so forth. You know, all the way up to the slap across the face, which perfectly
deserved
and deserved. Yeah. He admitted he deserved it and absolutely did. And all these emotions. And as she continues to go through all of it, circling back around to, but what drew her to him to begin with and the relationship that they have, and all the way, you know, to the end where she wants to be on the run with him. And he clearly is not going to put her in that position. Like, I wrote down a note. Like, I hope that when this show is all said and done, when this series is all said and done, that, like,
there's a walk off into the sunset
like
moment.
The last scene is like the end of Endgame, you know, with Captain America walking into the house. You know, that's that be my last scene. You know, I'm just where he's put it all behind him. He's made it go away. Whatever he does to have nobody chasing him ever and anymore, and can just kind of retire into that. That would be a nice, sweet ending for the character, so that we know, like we said, that our character is going to now have that nice, happy life to lead.
It would be nice. I don't think he's going to get his happy ending.
I don't either.
Series finale, you know, a season from now.
Yeah. I don't either, but I can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. I mean, it's what we want, but it's not going to happen, and probably shouldn't, you know.
Probably not.
You know,
it's probably not going to work out that way.
Yeah.
But let's see. So yeah, things go south. Townsend's there, obviously, just on this endless hunt to get Red, and still saying those things. You know, you didn't give my family a chance. They knew nothing about you, and yet you killed them too. And Red didn't deny anything this time, but it really wasn't the time or place, I think, to have that argument with him.
Right.
It was, you know, Red wasn't going to get drawn into that argument, but it's been something he has denied to anyone who's said it to him in the past, that he was not part of that.
So let's talk about Townsend for just a second. When Townsend was first introduced visually,
mm-hmm.
he was incapable of functioning. You were led to believe he had a ton of pills. He wasn't sleeping.
I know.
What? And now he's like, hey, what's going on? He's turned into international man of mystery. And
who's showing up with his team? Like, why does he need to go?
Well, no, that I'm okay with, except for when we first saw him several episodes ago, he was borderline. You felt like he was an invalid.
Yeah.
Based on, I mean, they had the things of the drugs he was on, you know, the medications and whatnot, and the people going into his room like, is he awake? Is he okay? Is he capable of having is he capable of having a conversation with me right now? Mm-hmm. You know, is he lucid? And it's just like, is this writing bad writing, or is it writing that hasn't been explained? I'm hoping it's writing that hasn't been explained yet. Like, he comes back like in some showdown later and says, I was, you know, borderline an invalid, but you've given me purpose. I can move forward and I'm actually off all my drugs and I can do that. I would accept that. Right.
He's been an odd character in that sense that, yeah, he even with the scene where he went and beat up the guy in the bag, he was still just prior to that scene kind of in that chair and barely functioning.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's weird to see him being now the guy just kind of moving around like it's no issue. Just doing his thing.
Yeah, with no fear standing in front of that door with Red, who's on the other side, with a gun.
Right.
Remember, they were armed inside that room.
Mm-hmm.
I half expected Red to go, there's a little teeny tiny hole here. You know, exactly. Right through the... you missed a spot.
Yeah, and I was sitting there thinking throughout the episode, I mean, if they teased a couple times where Anne had some close calls herself, and if anything were to happen to her, I mean, I could see the next several episodes of Red just
burning
the world down. And you've talked about how he's shown some rage this season, that if that were to happen, that he would just stop at nothing to avenge that. So we were definitely, I felt like we were close to something there. He is able to, they were able to get into that holding cell just long enough so that backup could arrive, which does force Townsend's men to leave. I mean, they're obviously not going to stay there and cause a war zone in the city against all incoming police, even though they probably could have handled themselves.
Well, now, before they had the tactical advantage of surrounding the building, everybody else coming in is going to have a tactical advantage.
Yeah, it would not be their
outside.
Advantage to stick around. So. They bailed, and that FBI team that came in with the local field office FBI guy came in. They came in, guys in full SWAT gear walking in. The one FBI agent just wearing his
an FBI coat. Team came in with backup. It's awesome.
I know. He came in behind guys who were in tactical gear. I'm like, wow, they got to go train the post office people because they know how to storm a scene.
So, no, I hear you.
But then we get the little bit with the little mini flashback of how Red escaped, and basically Lois and Anne were able to work it out to help Red get away.
And mostly, basically,
you're talking Lois into it, and using Lois's car to do it. So drives back to the house and lets him take the car and go. And were
that's
you
one of the issues.
He turned around? Oh, go ahead. One of the
issues. No, that was one of the, I talked about, there was a few issues that I had like, that wouldn't happen. There's no way in hell she would have been allowed to go home. That Lois or Red would have allowed her to go home knowing that Townsend or somebody should have been there and watching that house still.
even just the two of them. Yeah, they would not have chosen to go that direction. They would have gone somewhere else, maybe saying they were going home.
Yes. I'm going to go home. And then she goes to Lois's house.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Anywhere. But to go home.
Mm-hmm.
No. I have a problem with that. That and just the other nitpick is there's going to be more than one frickin' holding cell key. Why wouldn't almost every single one of them have it, or have another lockbox somewhere in the room or in the station that has several copies of it?
Yeah, given that there was, you know, one chief and maybe what, three officers in there, it's not unreasonable that they each would have had a key.
Yeah.
Not just the front desk guy.
But yeah, just that bitch about her going home. So going into your question about him turning around.
Did you see that coming? Did you expect that? I actually just thought that we were going to go to black with the song playing and him going through his memories. I was actually kind of surprised he turned around.
I didn't see it coming, but I was not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a good thing he did. Somebody must have, you know, the person who was there must have known he was going to do it because they were just sitting there waiting.
Well, he named her. He called. Well,
I know. I haven't said the name yet.
Oh, but, okay.
they obviously knew he was going to come back.
It was the Pope. The Pope was in there holding, at gunpoint.
I was like, oh, Red's going back to get her. And I did not really see that coming. I felt like the way the episode was winding down, I was looking at the clock. I'm like, okay, this is just going to fade out to the song and Red with his memories and there's that heartbreak ending for him for now.
And the Deadpool song.
Hopefully he gets to see her again. But nope. There's he calls her as Liz. I'm not good at looking at hands and you know, telling if that was her hand. But says
Liz. Could be an identical hand twin.
Could be an identical hand twin. Was that Friends?
It was a Friends reference, yeah.
Calls out Liz is there holding a gun to Anne. I don't know where to go with that.
Hang on here. What did we see? We saw Anne terrified. We saw a gun.
Kind of behind.
Did we actually see the gun to Anne's head?
It looked like it was behind her. The way
it looked like it. Did we actually see that?
No.
Is it possible that Anne's holding the gun to somebody else's head because she caught an intruder or something?
No, because I think they showed the hand with the gun, and it was not Anne's hand. So
it was a white hand. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that would support him saying Liz. So
I'm with you.
So Liz has
this show likes to do things like that. And I think we're due for some clever camera tricks, mm-hmm. something like that, where they, you know, you see a hand, you see a, you know, a head, you think it's one thing, but it's actually the other way around.
So Liz is finally there. She's finally going to return to the show. You know, if that's the case, I'm done wondering where she's been and why. I don't care. There was various speculations, some friends of the show tweeting things that they heard, but Liz is back. In a sense, gone way too long, and it seemed odd, but whatever. She's going to be back next week. And she's gone there. So we know she's working with Townsend. Is Townsend probably there too?
No. Only because Liz has her own agenda, and Townsend is a tool for Liz.
For her.
There is an alliance there, and my belief is Liz doesn't give a shit about Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
He is a tool. Mm-hmm. He is something in her arsenal, and that is it. She wants her direct revenge. She will not allow Townsend to be the one to do the damage. She wants to do it herself.
All right, I'm good with that. Is there any chance Liz is all part, or Anne is all part of Liz's plan?
But it's not a very big chance. I give it a 12%.
Like, I'm thinking, could she be the aunt of, who was the woman that worked for Red?
And the the bounty hunter chick?
Yeah, and was worked for Liz and helped plant the bomb that almost killed Wrestler.
No.
Or a friend or something like that. So they're like going to use her. Is that possible? Yeah, I think it is a low percent chance. I'm just asking the question because could we see a... I'm thinking like...
We would have had a clue. There would have been a clue in there on more comments about, oh, ever since your niece left or your sister left. I mean, she did talk about her sister, but it was, you know, and it would have come from the adult conversation around bridge. There would have been something in that conversation talking about, you know, the clue. Good writing would have put that in there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And we haven't always had good writing.
We haven't always had good writing, but... I'm going to leave that.
I think they would.
I'm going to leave that as a small chance that that's something. I'm not sure I believe it, but I'll leave it as a small chance. Thinking like, you know, Indiana Jones Last Crusade, you know, with they got the gun to the girl to, you know, convince them to give up, and turns out she was one of them.
She's one of them, yeah.
So because I've seen it in film, we'll let it slide for now, but. You know, she'll be part of next week's episode, and at least for one more.
Good.
For now, because we're going to probably pick up right where we left off next week.
I love that character. I really do.
I'm not sure we get a numbered episode next week, unless, again, the whole thing we see is the tease for next week is all resolved before the credits roll.
Possible. Like Cooper last week. Yeah, possible.
Well, what are we going to get? You know, are we going to get any sort of conversation, or is it going to be the same? I think it's going to be the same conversation Red and Liz have been having this whole series.
I've never lied to you.
Yeah, they're not going to tell each other anything, and she won't let him talk, or she won't listen to what he is saying, and he's not going to say anything that gives her any reason to listen, and it'll be frustrating. And we'll be back into that spin in the next five episodes you and I will probably hate. Because they're just going to, you know, walk us in circles and not give us anything. And that's frustrating because we've had a run of good episodes here of late. I'd hate to lose.
Last few episodes have been so good.
I'd hate to lose that momentum that we have with these last few episodes and go into a run of just we're back to the old Blacklist, you know, formula. Red and Liz won't talk to each other and won't say anything to anybody. And... it's just going to drive us crazy.
Yeah. Is there a trope for that? Is there like a worded trope for if they had just sat down and talked? I don't know. I need to get on TVTropes.com and try and figure that out.
Yeah, there has to be a trope for that because that happens in movies all the time. Whereas if these people would just actually talk and stop being so antagonistic with each other, most of their problems would probably go away.
Yeah, just lack of communication, you know, but, you know.
And that's what it is. It's just, that's been the show, is that he's not willing to give up enough, and the other problem is that Liz has always been so trusting with anybody that comes forth. You know, her trust is so heavy on who... whatever her flavor of the week is that week to the person she's going to trust.
And she doesn't
trust anybody else when she can only trust one person at a time and completely doesn't trust everyone else.
She has trust issues. And the problem is the person she should not be trusting is herself because she is a bad judge of character.
Yeah.
As
a psychological profiler, she's a horrible judge of character. She has proved that to us time and again. She cannot not judge people well.
And I get, you know, when you're emotionally involved with people and all that kind of fun stuff, but some of this stuff, you know, emotionally involved or not, some of this stuff kicks off, you know. That was a weird thing to say. That was a strange eye twitch. I mean, it's not a lie to me type thing, but still. All right.
Yep. So, all right. So we had a real good episode here. Where's it going to go? Like I said, I think next week we're going to be reintroduced to Liz. We're going to have to remember what the heck she was all doing. Maybe we get the whole episode is her holding Anne at gunpoint and telling Red what she's been doing the last what, 8 episodes she's been gone or whatever.
I've been building this massive army of terracotta soldiers, and they're all coming to get you because I've infused them with magic. Oh, wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe that's what we'll have, is we'll have this, a whole episode of flashbacks just showing us what Liz has been up to. Although we know some of what she's been up to because she's been this character in the shadows. So it's not like she's been completely off the map. I mean, with the whole doppelganger thing and all that, you know, it's not like she hasn't been around. You know, she even kind of showed up, you know, quote unquote, the last episode. You know, she was at the location where Wrestler was waiting for her in the park, and
supposedly, you know, allegedly,
and we see the car drive away. So
maybe it was an ostrich.
Yeah, it's not like she's not around, but who knows? I think that's probably my prediction. Is that's what next week is that we're going to get a kind of flashback as to what she's been doing, and she will
flashback montage.
Yeah, right. It'll build up to some conversation where it gets nothing, and they still don't trust. You know, he still can't gain her trust back, and she still won't listen to him. That's what I expect next week, and then we'll roll into some more bad guys for a few weeks until the season
then
ends.
We'll need to finish out Townsend.
Yeah,
because that Blacklister needs to finish this season, and
something's got to finish this season. We can't go the rest of this season and nothing get resolved. So if we're not going to learn anything new about the mystery behind Red and Liz, then at least let's finish off Townsend.
What do we believe? There's 3 to 5 episodes left. We're at 13. 5 would take us to 18, which is a short season, but not a shortened season. Yeah, 18 is not.
They got the next 2 weeks booked. Those are listed as episodes. So, and that's it after that for that. But then,
which is normal. That's usually as far ahead as we see.
Then that would probably give us 3 more after that. So, yeah, 3 to 5, kind of in that range, is what I'm expecting. Because that would get 5 if they do not take a break the rest of the way. It would be 5 episodes getting us up to Memorial Day. Maybe they double up at least once along the way. So maybe we get 6 more episodes. That makes sense.
18 or 19 episodes, which we'd be happy with.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe they go after that. Memorial Day. I don't think they'll go into June. So, okay.
Okay.
Very good. Well, let us know what you think. If you got some thoughts or feelings on it, we've had some nice conversation on Facebook and on Twitter as of late. You can go ahead and find us on there at Podcasturbia. Or you can go ahead and email us if the email is ever going to work again. Or go to our website, podcasturbia.com. You can find some information there.
I'm not sure that works either.
Well, the website has to work. Otherwise, they wouldn't be getting the podcast.
Well, no, the URL may work, okay, but the website itself may be down. Twitter. Go to Twitter. Get us on Twitter. We like Twitter.
Yeah. Forget about our technical shortcomings. Go to Twitter. Find us there.
I'm a little busy.
And we
need an associate producer.
Go ahead and chat with us on Twitch as well. We do this show every Friday following the episode. And then we have our own little fun just post-show chill time
variety
together,
show
following. Other than that, we did get a review on iTunes, and that was what we talked about earlier. Somebody said I need to learn how to pronounce Aram or Aram or Aram. So I'm good with that.
One of those three, you need to learn how to pronounce it.
Yeah, tell me how I need to pronounce it next time, and I will work on that for you. So that is going to do it for this episode. I'm Brian, he's Dave, and we'll see you all next time.
Good night, everybody.